This church has always been a church since I have been coming. As I look out over the congregation tonight, I see many of you that were here when Kendra and I came. This church has always been one that has wanted to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we exist. This is His church, and you are a part of it. And that's a wonderful privilege. This is not a right, but a privilege to be in a church that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. God led Kendra and I here in 1979. I just want to give you a real brief little history of what's happened and how we came to arrive here. See, neither Kendra nor I had ever set foot in the state of Michigan before 1979. I'm from Southern Illinois, and my wife's from upstate New York. We've got all kinds of stories, and I'd be glad to share with you them with you later. Some of you know how God brought me from Illinois and my wife together, but He did in 1979. God had His eye on me. And on June 27, 1974, through a personal witness of a friend named Randy Kipp, I received God's free gift of eternal life in a barracks room at Great Lakes Naval Training Center. And at that point, my life changed. I was 19 years old, was not raised in a Christian home. I was the second in my family to come to know Jesus Christ in this way and come to realize the significance of that relationship. God set my feet upon a solid foundation, and that foundation that today I continue to proclaim is Jesus Christ. God changed the course of my life that day in 1974. God began to teach me the true meaning of love. I thought I loved people. My mother taught me that. To love everyone. My grandfather taught me that you can learn from anyone, even a drunk in the gutter, if you will listen. So I learned those things, but I did not understand true love. Romans 5:8 changed my life. And if I had to claim a life's verse, this would be it. But God demonstrated His love toward us, toward me, and that while we, myself included, were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And on June 27, 1974, I came to understand that He died for me personally. In 1979, 5 years later, my 6-year enlistment in the United States Navy, I realized that I needed to trust God while I was realizing that. I was just growing. In 1974, I did not know one Bible verse. At least I couldn't quote one. I'm sure I heard many, but they didn't stick in my life. And throughout those next 5 years, I was like a sponge trying to learn and catch up with many people that I had met. In 1979, God led me, a young, growing Christian, to Evangel Baptist Church. It was a very eventful year. I left the Navy after 6 years on August 13th, 1979. I married my wife, Kendra, on August 18th, 4 days later, in 1979. We moved to Michigan, the first time for both of us. And that fall of 1979, I began working for Detroit Edison, as Pastor mentioned, at the Rico Fermi II plant on October 15th of 1979. I joined Evangel, my wife and I, in December of 1979. We enjoyed the fellowship and have from the first day we came. In June 1994, 15 years after I joined the church, I was called by you to be one of your pastors. I am so grateful for God leading me here. Kendra and I owe a lot to you. Because We came, just young couple, no kids, not understanding life in many ways, hungry and thirsty to learn, and you took us in. I have known many pastors who have served in many churches, but few that have enjoyed decades of ministry in one church like Kendra and I have at Evangel Baptist Church. That's how God led us here very briefly. There's many stories along the way. And before I go on, I would like my family who are here just to stand. My lovely wife, Kendra. I know many of you know them, but I know some of you are here and have never met my family. This is my wife, my son David. I'm sorry, Daniel's up serving upstairs, or sitting upstairs. He was serving. My son Aaron is, okay, he was out with my grandson Keaton, his lovely wife who just sang for you, Natalie. And my fourth son, Benjamin, who I love dearly, is in Nashville with my other two grandkids, my granddaughters. So he couldn't be here tonight. The Lord has blessed us indeed. He has led us here. God called Kendra and I to Evangel in 1979 to serve Him. Not as a pastor, but as a full-time servant in support of a pastor who was called into the ministry. You see, after I got saved in the Navy, God, I believe, did have a call in my life. I was encouraged to seek the pastorate, but I didn't know where, didn't have any training, wasn't in a church. You see, Evangel is the only church that I've ever been a member of. Before I was saved, I went to another denomination. I don't think I was a member there. We went there. I attended with my parents part of the time, but I was never a member. This is the only church. That's something, isn't it? When 1979... I was asking, Lord, do you want me in the ministry? I was already serving the Lord as I sought a missionary to the military, aboard a submarine, teaching, witnessing, trying to win folks to the Lord. And I was willing to stay in the service, very comfortable and secure, but I had met Kendra that year. And we had prayed, and I did not, after praying, did not believe that that was God's will. I did believe it was His will to marry her. So I figured that God, without giving me clear direction into the pastorate or into the ministry, to Bible college, I felt that that was not God's will. God did not clearly lead, and I am telling you that God will clearly lead you if you will ask Him specifically. He did me. And so I concluded from my prayers that God was not leading me into the pastorate, into the ministry at that time. The other conclusion that I discovered as God was speaking to me in my prayer time through the Word of God, that He had already called me in 1974 to be a full-time Christian servant. And so in 79, knowing I wasn't going to stay in the Navy, knowing that we had to, therefore I was getting married, therefore, Lord, I need a job because I have somebody else to care for. So I prayed. We prayed. And God provided one job by the time that I had to get out of the Navy. One job. And that was with Detroit Edison. And that was a specific answer to our prayers. And I took that as God's specific leading for Kendra to leave New York, me to leave Norfolk, Virginia, where I was at, and come to Michigan, where we'd never been before. We came gladly. We came confidently because God had led us. And I was led, I was called by God at that time to be a full-time Christian in support of a man who is called to the ministry. I have an understanding, and I came to that conclusion. There was a gentleman in the Navy that I looked up to, a retired gunner's mate, a rough character, tattoos all over his body, used to have pretty flowery language, But God changed all that when he accepted Christ. He worked in my life, and I looked up to him. In 1976, I asked him the question, what is God's will for my life? Does God want me in the ministry? Should I get out and go to Bible college? Should I stay in the military? I was expecting this wise older Christian, to be able to tell me what I should do. He didn't tell me what I was looking for. He gave me this, which I didn't like in the beginning, but I've never forgot it. He told me to do what you know is right today, and God will show you what to do tomorrow. That didn't help me. At least I didn't think. It didn't help me, but what do I do now? He just gave me that. He just repeated it, and that's all he said. That has been such a profound statement and has impacted my life so greatly that I have been willing to follow it ever since. Do what you know is right, and God will show you what to do tomorrow. How do you know what is right? The Word of God. I have talked with many of you, counseled with a number of you, and there's many young people here asking this question today. What is God's will for my life? I'm here to tell you that God has revealed much of His will in this, His holy Word. And part of that that's in here, His will, all you have to do is dig. All you have to do is obey. And when you do what you know is right, God will then show you what to do tomorrow. So young people, adults, men, women, if you're asking this question, what is God's will? Start by doing what you know is right. And then God will take you to the next step. He's not going to give you another step until you're willing to obey Him and do what you know is right. Praise the Lord that I heard that. I believed it and I followed it. Since the first church in Jerusalem was established, God has been using people, believers like you and I, and to share the Word of God. He's called pastors, as we have witnessed tonight, to baptize boys and girls, men and women, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father, Son, and the Spirit. And they have been added to establish churches as shown throughout the New Testament. God has called every believer into service within a local New Testament church. That's what He ordained the church to be. I understood that, and I wholeheartedly left the service accepting God's call in my life. Many have been confused about what is full-time Christian service. At the time I asked Mr. Edge, I thought full-time Christian service was reserved for those that are in the pastorate or missionaries. And I've come to a clear conclusion that that's not accurate. He has called all of us to full-time Christian service. The Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Philippian church, chapter 1, a letter that I identify greatly when I think of Evangel Baptist Church. Paul writes of his joy and gratitude for the church in Philippi, with which Kendra and I closely identify. If you want to turn in your Bibles there, I'm going to speak from this passage just for a little bit here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writes, as he's addressing and sending this letter to Paul and Timothy, right? And Paul wrote it. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. We thank God, Kendra and I, as Paul thanked the believers in Philippi, we thank God for you, Evangel. Evangel welcomed us when we were young and impressionable. The first people that we saw that introduced themselves to us way back then, Ed and Christine Wilde, who became our first deacon and wife, Gary and Gwen Redman, the custodial man on staff at the time, and Pastor Chuck and Nancy Birch, whose daughter is still here in this church, Kim Casement. And they welcomed us. Ed and Christine mentored us, visited us, invited us to use our gifts for the Lord. And we desired to do that. I later had the privilege of becoming Ed's deacon while I was going to seminary. Gwen and Gary Redman, as many of you, were typical evangel people who showed us hospitality and welcomed us when we were first here. When we first arrived in Michigan, we didn't know a soul. We finally settled here a couple of months of looking around, and they welcomed us into their home. Pastor Chuck and Nancy Birch encouraged us to serve and gave me my first ministry as the quiz coach for the quiz team here at Evangel in 1979. None of these folks were serving as official greeters, as you see some of you and you see people here on Sundays. They weren't official greeters, but they greeted us. So my challenge to you, members of Evangel, is you are all greeters. So make sure you greet every Sunday. For 15 years, many of you lived your lives for Jesus Christ around us, teaching us, showing us that being a Christian was not about being perfect, but about being faithful. Evangel, you are blessed with many sage older saints. And this is one of the things that attracted Kendra and I here. Ray and Shirley Russell have been there. Chuck and Mary Smalley, I'm going to get into trouble when I start naming people, but the reason I mentioned them is because Ray, Oscar Shanshek, and many of you don't know him, took me out visiting when I was in my early years here. They taught me the ropes. Chuck has always been there. I still depend on him, as many of you do. They have been there. Evangel has always, and this is what attracted me, always had multiple generations actively involved within the body of Christ here. From the nursery being bubbling at the seams to senior saints working in the nursery. They were always there, and they continue to be. You have taught us to build a firm foundation for our lives. As Paul continues to write in verses 5 and 6 of that first chapter, he says, he has wonderful memories, making requests of you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You taught us to build in those early years to have a firm foundation upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. From the first day until now, I have been led and taught to share my faith. And now I have the privilege of training other faithful men and women, boys and girls, to do the same. You've taught me, as the Word of God here, to have confidence in God and His Word. Verse 6 there it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That confidence was taught to me by you in those early years. And I continue to trust my Lord because of how you, the Church of Jesus Christ at Evangel Baptist Church, had mentored my wife and I and our family. We are all a work in progress. The verse says he's going to continue. God is going to continue his work in us until the day of Jesus Christ. I praise the Lord for that. You accepted us when we were young and inexperienced. You taught us and desired and gave to us love and respect. And today, as your pastor, I seek and desire to return that to you. It is our joy. My wife and I continue to desire to fulfill God's plan for our lives, which is His plan for you, in that we are being conformed, transformed into the image of His precious Son, Jesus Christ. You have been our family. In verses 7 to 8, Paul continues to write in his bonds when he was imprisoned. Later in chapter 4, it writes of how Philippi sent provisions and was there to care for Paul in his imprisonment. And he writes about that in verses 7 and 8. Even when he was in chains, and you were in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Paul writes that, and I identify with it. And I think that of you. I thank my God regularly when I remember you in prayers, individually and as a corporate body, because you have taken the Word of God seriously. You have seen your God's will for you, and you have ministered not only to Kendra and I, to Joan and her family as your leaders and servants, but to many who walk through this door. You were our family because when we first came here and moved to Michigan, I ripped Kendra away from her family and friends and comfortable surroundings. Neither of us knew a soul but each other. Evangelists taught us to trust the Lord, to trust our authorities that God has placed over us, and to trust each other. You, Evangel, have been adopted grandparents to our children. You, Evangel, have been... You have accepted us like your own children. And for that, I am grateful. Paul continues to write, and I have one further thing to say. As Paul continues in his letter to Philippi, he offers a prayer. And that is a prayer that I would have for you, Evangel Baptist Church, as well. Paul writes, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." That's why we exist as a church. That is what you have demonstrated to us since we have been here for these 30 years, 15 years as your pastor. And that is what I desire to see in you for the coming days. Paul, one of the greatest men that has ever lived, who has wrote most of the New Testament, and God, by His sovereign providence, has preserved it, that we would have His will encapsulated in the Holy Scriptures, that we may not only read it, but that we would obey it. And in doing so, we will honor God. So, I ask you, I invite you to enter into this privilege of serving the Lord Jesus Christ with me in the coming days, months, and years. We have a wonderful team. We cannot do it alone. But God, who is continuing to work in us, will be there for us every step of the way. Thank you, Evangel Baptist Church.